Yachting International Radio is hosting their first Mental Health and Yachting Forum, the Yachting Mind and Wellness Forum, on June 28th and 29th. This free online event features an esteemed list of speakers, including Deirdre Colgan from Nautilus Yachtwear. Join us for sessions that address yachty body shaming, sobriety on yachts, how to choose a therapist, dealing with depression while on board, and much more. Don't miss this opportunity to engage in vital discussions and enhance your well-being within the yachting community. Book your spot today.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Ria. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest. Her name is Laura Kilby. She is the founder of Sober Crew Social Club. Welcome.
Hi, Ria. Great to be here.
Yeah, well, you are going to be one of our speakers at the upcoming Yachty Mind and Wellness Forum. So I did want to pull you on board and just introduce the audience to what Laura and who Laura is. So tell us a little bit about you. Where are you from? What got you into yachting? And bring us up to date.
Yeah, I grew up in a sort of sailing family. Dad was a sailor, so always been on the sea, lived on a boat when I was a kid. So yeah, joining yachting was almost like the natural progression of things. So I joined yachting a long time ago, back in 2006. So I've been in the industry for a long time, on and off over the years. And yeah, been worked my way up through the interior and obviously ended up being chief stew. And yeah, so then obviously been in the industry for a while. And over that time, started exploring my relationship with drinking and started looking into sobriety. I flirted with sobriety a few times, tried it. Didn't work. Tried it again. Didn't work. Tried it again. But I think it's really difficult being sober in the yachting industry. And I think it's also really difficult if you don't have the right support, don't have the right tools. And so, yeah, I decided to start the Sober Crew Social Club. Such a mouthful. But just for myself, but also to connect with other sober people and then to help other sober yacht crew connect with other sober yacht crew, just because it can be pretty isolating, both being sober and also if you do want to change your relationship with alcohol, whilst that's difficult on its own, but especially whilst you're in yachting. Yeah, it was, and thus it was born, really.
Let me ask you, what is, because there is quite a culture in yachting, especially with junior crew, and actually, in some cases, it goes all the way. I've known captains and such that are alcoholics by the time that they're done in their 50s or 60s. What is it about yachting that makes alcohol so attractive?
It's a good question. So actually, the first boat I worked on, also the captain was an alcoholic. So that was my first introduction into yachting and drinking. The captain was an alcoholic. The bosun was also an alcoholic. And so I think it was just really evident. And actually, funnily enough, on my first boat, I didn't drink at all, but I could see, wow, okay, alcohol's like a big thing. And I think it's just like it's the go-to relaxant and it's the go-to socialization tool, really. It's wherever you are, you pull up, what are we going to do? We're going to go for a drink. And I think where it becomes problematic is obviously you have people coming into the industry. Sometimes it could be almost like their first real taste of independence. Maybe they've been living at home, especially like in the current climate that we're living in, people are leaving home later and later. It's harder to develop your own independence and move out younger. And so then all of a sudden, especially with things with shows like Below Deck, people think, oh my gosh, that's what I want. I want a bit of that. I want to go off, I want to earn loads of money, I want to have these great adventures. And then all of a sudden you have people who are likely earning more money than they have done before. They have this real taste of independence. They're on their own and it's just really easy to go buck wild, basically. It's like lots of money, lots of opportunity, and there's nobody to stop you until you get in trouble. And then, yeah, then that's a different story.
Well, do you think possibly that some of it is self-medication as well, for the simple fact that we see yachting hashtags mental health a lot. Everyone and their dog is talking about mental health and having forums on mental health. When you actually look at the accreditation of many of these people and their experience in mental health. It doesn't exist. It's not there. It's just lay-by people of whatever walk in life talking about mental health with actually no real solutions because they're not licensed in any way to talk about mental health. So really, as much talk as there is, there's no solutions that are happening. Do you think maybe perhaps some of the alcohol abuse is as a result of self-medication?
100%. I think that it's really easy in any walk of life to struggle to deal with life. You've got emotions and all sorts of feelings that can come up at any point, but especially when you're on a boat, you're away from your friends, you're away from your family. If you're lucky, you have a great crew, but often that's not the case. And maybe there's one person or two people that you feel like you connect with. And if you're having a bit of a tough time, obviously, as we all know, yachting's really hard work. It can be really tiring. And as you were saying about the whole sort of mental health hashtags, there's hashtags all over social media about how everybody's having such a fabulous time in yachting. And that's just not the reality for everybody. And like I say, it's not particular to yachting, but it is that much harder in yachting because you don't have your support network. You don't have your friends. Sometimes you're somewhere where you have no signal, or the boss is on a really important business meeting and you have to turn off all your devices and you can't contact home. And there are all sorts of things that people go through in the day to day anyway, that on a boat is that much harder. And I think once you then start that path of thinking, like, oh, I want to really take the edge off is having a drink, it soon becomes habitual. And it then a slippery slope can happen. And all of a sudden you find that it's happening 3 or 4 times a week. And sometimes it's happening when you're not even really wanting to go for a drink. And it's just in that sort of behavior, you then create more problems because you then have more, you maybe act in ways that you wouldn't normally act in. And you can really, it's really easy for like spirals of shame to happen. And you think, oh my God, I can't believe I did that last night. Who knew? Who saw me? What happened? Da-da-da. And yeah, all of a sudden, this sort of problem gets exacerbated. And yeah,
you think it's hypocritical within the yachting industry for the simple fact that we hear stories of people that have actually gone out and sought help for their mental health, have been prescribed prescriptions to help them with their mental health, but lose their job because they're prescribed exactly what it is that they need in order to maintain proper mental health, but yet can go out and get drunk every day. Is that hypocritical?
Yes. In a simple answer, yeah, I think it is. I think that mental health is a really hot topic at the moment. And I feel like it is being addressed in many ways. I think there are lots of people trying to make real big strides in the industry to try and tackle mental health. But the reality is, and maybe I'm wrong, I'd love to be wrong on this, but I think really, if you're struggling with your mental health and you go to your head of department or you go to your captain and you are vulnerable and you say, I'm really struggling with this thing, be it your mental health, be it something to do with alcohol or addiction or anything like that, the reality is you're likely not going to be met with the sort of support that you need. The reality is you are sort of seen as a liability, or a dink crew member, and you could risk losing your job, as you mentioned. But I think it's also where the yachting industry, it's really fantastic that people, and the thing is, it's people who often have industry experience that are trying to push for change, but the change can't happen from us. The change can only really happen from higher up. So we can highlight these issues. Like what I'm doing is speaking from my own experience and trying to help people feel less isolated, feel less alone, know that there are other options. But really, when you're working on a boat and you're doing 14, 15, 16 hour days and you're exhausted, if you go to your head of department, you say, I'm fucked. I'm really struggling. The workload is such that in order to take you out of the working rota, the whole team gets impacted. So there's not even really the option. How can you be the crew member that's letting everybody down? Even if we had it on board during COVID, we had the boss on board. I got COVID. The boss brought COVID on board. I got COVID. My second stew then got COVID and we couldn't work for a couple of days. And it's just this most ridiculous situation where we were taken out of the equation for literally a day or two because they couldn't do it without us. And that's like a physical thing when it was COVID and it was this really big deal. So what happens when it's not something that you can actually see or is not tangible? It's far more difficult for it to be managed in a supportive, helpful way.
One thing I've noticed in yachting, as I've been covering it for the past 20 years, is that more recently, and I would say just prior to the pandemic, throughout the pandemic and even now, and it's changing, is that we see generational wealth being passed down. We have a brand new sort of generation of owners. We have a brand new generation of charter guests. More and more of these people are looking for health and wellness type charters. They're looking more to educate their children, to go places that are much more pristine. They're talking about sustainability. They are talking about an overall education and not just a mental education, or sorry, the traditional education that you learn in school for their children. Do you think, as you said, that it has to come from higher up? Do you think that's going to impact how boats treat their crew because they've got owners and charter guests that are concerned about the same things that crew are?
I would certainly hope so. And I know, I think, was it this week, the first solar-powered yacht has been launched, something like that. So there is a shift, but it's actually not really down to the owner. There is such a disconnect between owner and charter guest and crew. Those aren't conversations that you can or really should be having with owners. And owners often, I've worked on boats where it's really crew involved, and I've had great owners. And it's not saying that all boat owners are awful tyrants, but there is still that disconnect. And you can have the most fabulous owners in the world, but things still need to happen. And a lot of what happens on the boat is nothing to do with owners. So it's all the stuff behind the scenes that has to get done, irrespective of the owner's wishes. But I would hope that in having more proactive understanding, owners, if they were to make a priority of crew mental health and crew wellness, it would then obviously, that would be implemented through the management company, through the captain, and would filter its way down through the crew.
Have you ever worked on a sober boat?
No, never.
Are there sober boats out there?
Yeah, there are. There are. I don't know. You have sober boats for many different reasons. Sometimes it's the owner's choice. Sometimes it's the captain's choice. And within that, there are then varying degrees of sobriety. Sometimes it's just there's no drinking on the boat itself. Sometimes you have to be a non-drinker to work on board. But yeah, it varies, I think. But I've not had that experience myself.
Do you think that would be a positive change? Or do you think that it should be up to the individual as far as their choice?
No, I think it should be up to the individual. Honestly, I think that people should be entitled to make their own decisions. I really want to do, I'm not here banging my drum saying alcohol's evil and nobody should be able to drink wine ever again. It's just to be able to, like I say, offer alternatives. And my sort of priority really is like communication and connection and community, because it is really isolating to be sober in a crew of drinkers. It's really isolating to feel like you have a problem as well. And so for somebody who would prefer to be on a non-drinking boat, then that's great. That would be a great choice for them. But I think that by instilling the rule that, like, let's just say tomorrow there was a blanket rule, there was no drinking on board ever again on any boat, I don't really think that tackles the issue.
Well, you are speaking at the forum coming up on the 28th and 29th of June. Yeah. Tell us what you're going to be talking about and, yeah, tell us what the audience can expect and what they can take away from that.
Well, oh my God, that's such a big question. Where to start? definitely there'll be some of my story into sobriety and how to manage sobriety on the boat. If it is something that if you already are sober, if it's something that you're looking into, and definitely going to be speaking. So as I've, I've mentioned, I'm busy building my website, and what I really want that to become is a space whereby you can go on there and you can find all these various different resources and all these different tools and all these different tips and places where you can then go if you feel like you do have a problem. Because whilst not everybody who drinks has a problem, I want people to know that they have somewhere to go if they feel like they need somebody to talk to. Because I say it every single time, talking about these things is what brings it into the light, and it's what helps people get through it. And keeping things hidden, like we were talking before about the spiral of shame that happens with drinking, that is the nature of the beast. And it's not that it happens every time, but you go out, you get drunk, you do something stupid, you feel like an asshole the next day, you hate yourself. How do you deal with it? You go out and you have a drink because you can't bear.
Well, alcohol is a natural depressant anyway, right? That's bound to happen because that's essentially exactly what it is.
Well, you hit two drinks. What often, you get a rush, but that hits its limit at two drinks. So then for the rest of the night, you're chasing that high that you got at the two drinks, and you can't get it back. That's it. You can only have so much of a dopamine rush from alcohol, but we have that first drink and either the sense of relaxation or, yeah, I needed that. By the time you hit two drinks, you're at capacity of the amount of that high that you're going to get, and then you chase it. And then exactly as you say, it's a depressant, and the next day, it's not just the sort of behaviors that come in. And again, it's not that no two people are the same. So it's not like everybody who goes out and has a few drinks then does something that they regret. But the next day, often you have the ill effects of the alcohol. You have the feeling low. You have that beating yourself up because maybe you said you were going to go for one drink, but actually you had four drinks. And I was going to go for a run this morning and I didn't because I feel really knackered because I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning because I was really thirsty and I couldn't get back to sleep. And sort of thing just grows, and it's really easy to grow monsters in your head at 4 o'clock in the morning as well. And yeah, it's just connecting over these things is what helps, because alcohol by its very nature, especially if you're developing a problem with it, is isolating, and the isolation is what keeps you stuck in that cycle and what can lead to the depression, what leads to heightened anxiety, what leads to all the negative effects that happen from drinking. And having a community, talking to people, having that support is what will combat that. So that is like the foundation of what I believe in, is connection and support.
So that is essentially, they're going to be able to come away from this forum, and whether they were thinking about becoming sober or whether they just want an option, they will have pathways in order to achieve that.
Yeah. Yeah. And also there will be, so I'm in talks at the moment, there will be sober events being hosted in like yachty hubs, hotspots. And that's also something that, yeah, is in the works to hopefully start happening within the next few months. So again, people will know if they are in such and such place, there's going to be a sober meetup happening. And so there are places where you can find your people as well. Wherever you are in the world, you can hopefully find like a sober ally and have somebody there to talk to.
Well, I am really looking forward to this forum, and there's going to be a lot of really great speakers over the 2 days, and definitely looking forward to yours. It'll be interesting. I think we already have over 150 guests registered.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That's amazing.
So we will provide all of Laura's information below this. She is the owner of the Sober Crew Social Club. If you'd like to get in touch, and as well as we mentioned, the upcoming forum through Yachting International Radio, the Yachting Mind and Wellness Forum. You've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.